Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
This is a confidence show, especially when we're joined by Frank Isola. He's at the Frank Isola on Twitter. You can hear him on Sirius XM. You can read him at The Athletic, and you can watch him on television at Around the Horn. Frank Isola, I'm curious, as we bring you in, Adrian Peterson reportedly has blown through $100 million plus. How wild is this that it keeps happening?
I don't get it. You know, a bunch of years ago, I actually sat down with Antoine Walker because he wanted to do a book basically about being a guy, you know, one of these first NBA players with these huge contracts to blow all his money. And he had gotten involved in a bunch of bad real estate deals. He also was gambling his money. It's hard to believe that you could lose $100 million. I mean, if you're just being somewhat smart about it, you know, you're investing a little bit of it, it's nearly impossible. But, you know, a lot of the players and a lot of really rich people who lose their money, they buy things like cars and jewelry, things that, you know, aren't really worth it. And it's hard, I mean, to lose that much money. And you know how it works, Clay. You know, when Adrian Peterson is done playing football, you're not ever making that kind of money again. You're not even going to come close to it. So I'm shocked that in this day and age, with as much, you know, as the players kind of get educated, I know they do this in the NBA with rookie orientation, where they're really trying to help the players out to be smart about their money. I mean, you see the amount of money that Adrian Peterson lost, but come on, I mean, he's had a pretty wacky lifestyle off the field, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I think it looks bad not just for Adrian Peterson, but also for the league, which is why I think the league has tried to keep players from making decisions like these, because when you get up to that kind of dollar figure, if you just buy, you know, like index futures in the stock market, right? I mean, you're basically guaranteeing yourself over the last, 100 years, basically, you're guaranteeing yourself 9, 10% a year in investment return. And what's wild about being able to go bankrupt like that, and you know this, Frank, is like you just mentioned, it's you're buying assets that have almost no value. In other words, you know, for people out there who are listening to us right now, if you buy a car, the minute that you drive it off the lot, it's worth about 50% of what you paid for it. If you buy a house, then by and large, it's hard to lose all of your money in a house, right? Because it's a tangible, physical asset. So just buying the right assets, even if you're spending money rashly, it's hard to lose a ton of money if you invest, for instance, in real estate and actually put your money out there to buy the – it's just it's mind-boggling to me that athletes continue to make decisions like this and put themselves into this position. So that's one story that's out there. The
I just wanted to say this really quickly. I always find it amazing – and covering players for a long time, how suspicious they'll be of the media.
Right.
And not trusting, which is fine. I think, you know, you're not going to develop a relationship instantly.
It's a great
point. Really, all the media is trying to get out of the players is information. And I've always been surprised at how some of the same players that are very suspicious of the media will hang around with kind of shady characters who in the end up stealing all their money. I still remember the day that LeBron James, I think he was drafted, and Charles Barkley was on a live remote with him, and he said, the first thing you need to do is learn the word no. Yeah. No, I'm not buying you a restaurant. No, I'm not buying you a car. No, I'm not opening up a music studio for you. And I always find that interesting that the players being smart about certain things, and rightfully so, being a little suspicious of people right away because you don't know what people's intentions are, yet they sometimes surround themselves with people who are robbing them blindly.
Yeah, one of the stories that's wild is the number of people sometimes who will have access to a debit, you know, card.
Yeah.
When the player's check hits a checking account, you got like 10 or 12 people who have debit cards that can go just take money freely out, which is wild to even think about, right? I mean, if there's anybody other than your spouse who has access to your debit account, I mean, that's crazy, right? Like, that should be rule number one. You control the money, and the amount of people who just immediately allow others to just go take money out of their account, it blows my mind, because once that money's gone, again, it gets spent on frivolities, and it disappears forever. The other big story, Frank, and I'm sure you've seen this over the years, where guys, you know, make awful decisions. I remember, I'm trying to remember the boxer, and I can't remember which boxer it was, but it doesn't really matter because the story on it is so amazing. Don King was his guy, right? And he had bought a Ferrari, and he didn't have the cash to put gas in it. So he had to borrow from Don King to put gas in his Ferrari. I mean, that was just kind of indicative of the decision-making in general. And I remember the story years and years ago that Mike Tyson went to like McDonald's to get a hamburger, and decided while he was there, there was a car dealership next door, and he bought like a Lamborghini next door or something while he was eating a hamburger. Like, you could lease those cars. You could borrow them for a couple of months, whatever you want to do. But it blows my mind how many guys just make such awful financial decisions.
You know, it's years ago, I won't say the player on the Knicks, but we were staying, they were out in L.A., we're staying in Marina Del Rey. And one of the guys that would travel with this player was kind of his driver, kind of his personal valet. And he saw me at the game. He says, "You're going to the airport tomorrow?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "I was staying at the Marriott Marina Del Rey." He was staying at the Ritz-Carlton with the team. He said, "Hey, I got a car. I'll pick you up." I said, "All right." So when he came to pick me up, he went to the front desk. He was checking out two guys that were staying. It was two guys who were friends of a New York Knick who were staying in the same hotel as I was. So when he got the bill, he let me look at the bill. You would not believe the charges that these guys rang up. So the Knick player flew these guys out, put them up at a hotel. They ate every meal room service. And I remember the player telling me like a couple of months later that he was having financial trouble. I said, "Why are you flying your friends out, and why are they eating every single meal in the hotel?" Now, I know it sounds like a minor thing.
Yeah.
From Marina Del Rey, tell them to get off their ass and go like walk down the street to a diner and get a breakfast that's going to cost $10 as opposed to $80 or whatever the case may be. That's what it is. People closest to them a lot of times are the ones taking the money from them.
Yeah, it's wild. Big story, Taylor Lewan. I don't know if you saw this or saw his sort of tearful apology. Titans left tackle says he inadvertently tested positive for a banned substance. Do you believe anybody when they say now that they tested positive inadvertently for a banned substance?
I find it a little hard to believe, especially the highest level athletes who are so concerned, and rightfully so, about what they're putting into their body. I think probably the most extreme case would have been Roger Clemens when he had the trainer who was injecting a needle into his rear end, and Roger Clemens said he had no idea what he was doing. Clay, are you going to allow a trainer to inject a needle into your rear end and not know exactly what you're getting? So the players, a lot of times they love to be, you know, they love to be somewhat ignorant to that, and ignorance is never a defense. And I find that a little hard to believe that you could do something like that, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, and also we've just seen so many of these guys, whether it was back in the day, Lance Armstrong, who sued all his critics and said, "Hey, I never did anything wrong." I think it was Ryan Braun, right, he had the press conference and then a holier-than-thou speech where he said, "Oh, I had nothing to do with this," and then he later admitted to ped use. I just think it's hard to believe that it happens inadvertently. I understand if you get caught why you want to say it was inadvertent, because it makes you look better because there's some segment of a fan base that's going to believe you no matter what. But I just think it's a bad look in general because of so many guys who've been caught over the years. And I'm with you, Frank. Like, if you told me that that my career was at stake based on what I'm ingesting, there's no way I'm taking anything that's even remotely close to the line of what might be acceptable or risking it if I don't know everything. What about, let's shift gears here, but go back to the NBA. What did you think of Kawhi and Paul George and Steve Ballmer, the introductory press conference they had yesterday?
Well, you could see that Steve Ballmer, as an owner, is one of the better owners in the league. First of all, he's the richest owner in the NBA, and that enthusiasm is real. And I think for the Clippers, like, look at how the Lakers handled their press conference with Anthony Davis. They had it on a Saturday afternoon. And as you know, Clay, the media, especially during the offseason, the last thing anyone wants to do in July on a Saturday is go to a press conference. And I heard the reason that they had the press conference, because with LeBron shooting the movie, that was the only time that he could make it to the press conference. So they have their press conference on Saturday, and of course LeBron doesn't make himself available. But the Kawhi and the Paul George one, it was almost more like a rally. And it seems like when you look at the two teams, I get that the Lakers have all the history and they have all the champions. The Clippers have never even been to a conference final, but there's something cooler about the Clippers, and I think Jerry West being involved, the fact that they have this owner with all this energy, and we kind of know who the owner is. When all this stuff went on with Magic Johnson, you know, here you have Mr. Laker calling out everyone in the organization, and then Jeannie Buss disappeared for basically 6 weeks. And then she finally showed up at the red carpet at the Players Awards, and she said, well, I really didn't have anything to say. And my thing, what do you mean you had nothing to say? What, you're the guy that used to be the president of your team basically imploded the organization and said you can't trust anybody. You should have come out and been like a face of the organization at that point. So I think the Clippers, they won free agency, and they're winning in more ways than one.
Zion's shoe deal. Good move, bad move to make him the highest paid rookie shoe contract beneficiary with Jordan's Jumpman brand at Nike of all time.
It's an interesting one. I mean, you know, I got a chance to see him play in person twice, and there's certainly something about him when you're there. There's a lot of excitement. The thing that would concern me, and I wonder how you feel about it as well, you know, you show up for your first summer league game, and it's being hyped up, and it was scheduled, so, you know, on a 9:30 on a Friday, that first day of summer league, and he hadn't played since late March, and he showed up, and he had to be, what, 20, 25 pounds overweight. I thought that was troubling. And then he didn't play that well. Then he had a knee issue. Then a couple of days later, he shows up at the ESPYs while his team is still playing in Las Vegas. To me, the start for him has not been great. And you just want, I'm just concerned that a guy who knew he was going to be the number one overall pick in the draft put on that much weight and got that out of shape from the time his last college game started until now. I think it's great that he got the contract. Financially, he should be set for the rest of his life if he only plays in the NBA for his rookie deal, which I don't think will be the case. I think he'll eventually turn things around. But he just pulled out from practicing with the Olympic team. I think that's a mistake as well. So financially, he's doing well for himself. But ever since, you know, he showed up with the Pelicans, you know, things have, to me, there's not one thing that's happened that's been encouraging.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about it, only in the context of, I think you're right about the weight, but I still don't know necessarily how he translates. If, you know, look, we got Ben Simmons, who for whatever reason still can't shoot, right? And Zion is an okay outside shooter, but I'm just a little bit nervous about his ability to develop and get his own shot. And there's relatively few guys in the NBA who can't at some point develop their own shot and become stars. And so, look, other than like the Shaquille O'Neals of the world, who were just so physically imposing back in the day that they can basically get themselves to the basket and nobody else can stop them and it doesn't matter, I don't think Zion's athleticism is going to stand out in the same way in the NBA that it did in college. And I'm a little bit concerned about his undersized nature and how he's going to develop as a shot maker and as a shot creator. And I think it's a move probably that Nike needed to make. Certainly after his shoe blew out, you couldn't really allow him to sign with anybody else because of the amount of attention that would have gotten. And because of, frankly, the television advertisements he could have done that kind of ridiculed Nike. But I'm not necessarily sold on what he's going to be able to create going forward. Saw this, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on it. Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's been outspoken for a while, been willing to say whatever he thinks. And by the way, we're talking with Frank Isola. Read him at The Athletic, listen to him at SiriusXM, watch him on television at Around the Horn on ESPN. He said Anthony Davis forcing a trade was bad for the league. You surprised that Steve Kerr weighed in here and gave an opinion like this?
I think Steve Kerr is crazy like a fox. I think he wanted to tweak the Lakers just a little bit. It was probably a little bit of payback for when Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors, and everybody thought that that was not the best thing for the league. I didn't think it was great for the league. I thought it messed up the balance of power in the NBA. That's why I think what Kawhi did by not going to the Lakers was good for the NBA. But he is right, though. In theory, he's right, because when these players are under contract, and you're signing these big deals, and you're going to a team in January and saying you want to be traded. Really, and when you think about it too, last year that messed up two teams. It messed up the Lakers and it messed up the Pelicans. But I think the league is going to be happy that Anthony Davis is there. Certainly LeBron James is going to be happy. But that's the trend of that. A lot of people don't like it. And the only reason the Paul George thing hasn't become a bigger deal is because the Oklahoma City Thunder liked the deal that they got.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City Thunder, would they be losing their minds right now if they wanted Paul George and they heard that Kawhi Leonard reached out to him and told him, ask for a trade, preferably to the Clippers, and we'll play together? But Oklahoma City, they didn't protest that at all because they liked the trade that they made. But getting back to your point, I think Steve Kerr's doing it. I think he wants to tweak the Lakers a little bit and tweak LeBron.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that that's one of the goals that is out there. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tennessee Titans both report for training camp today. We talked about Taylor Lewan being out four games. The big story for both teams, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, the number one and number two overall picks, both entering into their fifth year. The teams have not committed to them beyond there. Do you think one or both of these guys is the long-range quarterback for either of their teams? Would you buy stock in either, or would you sell stock in both?
You know what? I'm not sure I'd buy stock in either player. But I always say this about the quarterback. You know, I know it's a bit of a cliche, manage the game. Just think about some of the guys that have won Super Bowls before. Even, most recently as a guy like Joe Flacco or Trent Dilfer, or back in the day, Mark Rippon, Jeff Hostetler. You don't have to beat Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. If you have a good defense around you and if you're a guy that can kind of cut down on your turnovers. But Jameis Winston, some of the stuff that he's done off the field kind of concerns you. Some of the things that he has said kind of concern you. My thing is, when you're the quarterback, you have to be the leader of the team. It's so much like being the point guard. And are you the kind of guy that could, A, lead players, or players going to kind of look up to? And I'm not so sure you have that yet. I would think that Mariota probably a little bit more than Jameis Winston, but there's going to be a huge season for both of them.
Outstanding stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week. It's Frank Isola at the Frank Isola. Follow him on Twitter there. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Clay.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I want to bring in the crew now. How stunned are you, Danny G, that Adrian Peterson could go through? He made $100 million just from playing football. You figure that he probably made another $20 million or so. That might be low over endorsements. You know, it's 12-year career so far and sundry other payments that you receive when you become a famous professional athlete. In the wake of and including like everybody sitting around watching the broke 30 for 30, the idea that you could be broke is certainly well known, right? It isn't some stunning thing. To have this happen still, it blows my mind that it's possible.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I feel for him a little bit just for the fact that you have all those kids. That's one thing, all right? Ton of babies, mamas. And then your lifestyle, you start to get it, I think, when you're around 40, wouldn't you say, with financial issues? Some people maybe 30, and they're a little bit ahead of the curve. And I wish in high school they would have taught us a little bit more about how to balance checkbooks and get good credit scores, right? There should have been a class on that.
Yes, definitely.
Well, look, I mean, this fires me up, the whole credit score thing. Remember, I don't know if people were listening. When I was saying I was taking out a home equity line on my house just because I want to have that line of credit available if I suddenly need a substantial amount of money in one fell swoop. And I found out that I had a student loan that was in arrears because I had changed companies. And it was a $100 student loan payment that I hadn't made. And this idiot company reported me to a collection agency. And it's on my credit report now. And I was so angry. I'm still so angry about this. Like, it's one thing if you lose $100 million. But the fact that we got companies reporting $100 debts and screwing up people's their credit history. And otherwise, you wouldn't know. But $100 million. I do think that schools in general would probably be helped tremendously by teaching basic financial literacy. I've long thought that. Like, for instance, I went to public school K through 12, but I was never taught how to type. And I was like, one of the most useful things that I ever learned how to do, I had to teach myself, was go buy a book and learn how to type. Every kid should know how to sit down in front of a keyboard and type quickly, right? Like, so you can write a paper, so you can write emails, so whatever you need to do, so you can be on, so whatever you're doing, like, that should come naturally to you. And some people say, well, everybody's on their phone, they're typing with one finger at a time now. Whatever. You should still be able to do that. But yeah, I wasn't ever taught any financial literacy, but the NFL does do it. And they do make a lot of really trustworthy people available to you. And it was a good point I thought Frank Isola just made. You got athletes who are incredibly skeptical of the media. And they don't trust you. And you come around and they want to talk to you. And their guard is up. They're very unlikely to trust you. And then they make $100 million and their financial advisor is their uncle. And you're like, hey, is your uncle really that good with money? Or is he just kind of okay with money and he made $40,000 a year and nobody else ever made $40,000 a year and he bought his own home? And that's great, but he's probably not sophisticated when it comes to trying to figure out how to invest $100 million and make sure that your money is working for you as opposed to working for other people. And it's just wild to think about that you could have $100 million disappear like this.
Yeah, on a much smaller scale, there's been some of us were in our 20s. You know, I made some good money and didn't invest in houses and property.
Yes.
Instead, I bought cars and was, you know, doing stupid things with my money. So I understand,
yeah, but you
relate a little bit.
You made like $150,000 a year. And he's making like $12 million a year. I mean, we're not saying, look, Adrian Peterson could have taken 40% of the money that he brought home and invested it in totally absurd things. And if you put $12 million, if you take 20% of that $12 million and put it away, you're still going to be doing pretty well for yourself.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Let's play the music, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
What you got for me, Danny G?
One video that hundreds of listeners have tweeted into us. A 9-year-old girl was thrown in the air by a charging bison in Yellowstone Park. Tell me you've seen this video, Clay.
I have seen this video.
How did this happen? On Monday, a 9-year-old girl from Florida was visiting Yellowstone with her family. The group got too close to the bison near the Old Faithful geyser there. The bison charged them. The parents ran. The young girl was left standing there, and the bison tossed the girl into the air. From the video, you would think that she would be seriously injured, but she didn't sustain any major injuries. No citations were issued after the event either. The girl was treated for minor injuries at the Old Faithful Lodge.
Parents, what letter grade would you give the parental responsibility here?
That's a solid F.
Yeah.
They just run for it. I mean, it's like their daughter's not even there.
What do you think? Have the parents been interviewed since this happened, since this video went viral?
You know, I'm not sure, and I kept looking at it closely. I think it's the parents. It doesn't say if it is, but all of us are assuming that the two people running are the parents. So there's a possibility that the parents are somewhere else in the video shot. You would hope they would be somewhere near their child, right? But it just generically in the article says that it was a group near this bison. So not sure on it, and the article doesn't say. We'll follow this as more stories about it come out, because I'm sure some follow-up articles are going to be on the internet.
You can't abandon your daughter in the face of a charging buffalo.
No.
Or son, right?
No.
Like, if you have a child, what age is it every man for himself?
Late teens. Yeah, I was just going to say right around 19, 20. I mean, even then, as an adult, we've got to live some good years. You see a youngster in trouble like that, you better put yourself in front of that kid to protect them.
Yeah, I mean, a nine-year-old. I mean, I'm glad the kid's okay. And since you're telling the story, a lot of people probably anticipated that the kid died. So since you seem to seek out all of the worst stories involving children and animals that could be found. But that in and of itself is pretty wild. Yeah, that video went viral. And I can't imagine that that you know what ended up happening when dad and mom ran. Do you know what mom said?
No.
Mom 100% said that that was dad's responsibility, right? Like mom may flee, but dad has got to be there to take on the buffalo. It's like, remember when Harambe happened and I said, I would have jumped into that cage if I was the dad, if I let a kid get into a gorilla enclosure and dad was in charge, I would almost just jump in and let the gorilla kill me rather than have to face my wife if I was responsible for my kid ending up in the gorilla cage. Every woman out there right now is like on some part of her brain, when a dad takes a kid to the zoo, every mom somehow expects for the kid to end up in an enclosure with a dangerous animal. Dad looks away at the wrong time because dad's buying cotton candy because dad's got to go to the bathroom and he forgets. Like nobody, no woman out there trusts her man to take the kid to the zoo. And so every mom was like, yeah, I kind of expect for that to happen. And I would honestly, rather than have to live for the rest of my life being responsible for the kid getting in the gorilla cage, I would almost rather the gorilla just pick me up and dash me into the wall. I almost would just allow the gorilla to just end me there.
Well, you'll love this real quick. When I was a kid, the apartment building my family was living in caught on fire. So my mom's screaming to my stepdad to get the baby who was in a playpen. And it's smoke is billowing in, and we're trying to get out of the apartment. So we get out of there. My mom can't find my stepdad. She grabs the baby. We're all standing outside of the apartment, and the flames are up high now. He comes out last out of the smoke, and he's carrying his JVC VCR. True story. That's what he wanted
to
say.
He saved the VCR.
He saved his VCR because, as you know, back then
the VCR was like gold boy.
They were like $600-$700 back then when we were kids.
Yeah, you got to be able to watch time-shifted television back in the day.
Forget the toddler. I'm taking the JVC.
Yeah.
All right, next story here. Visitor was hurt badly in the Cayman Islands. There from the U.S. This past weekend, he was bitten by a barracuda.
Oh, wow.
At the Stingray City Sandbar. We don't ever hear about it.
Oh, I was at the Stingray City Sandbar last year.
Well, some details of this incident have been coming up out on social media. Health officials confirmed that the man was brought to HCCI on Saturday after he came ashore at Rum Point with two very severe lacerations to his right arm following the encounter with his barracuda. He was suffering from what doctors say was a badly torn and lacerated artery, as well as significant nerve and muscle damage. They were scared this guy was going to bleed to death. Horrible. Now, attacks are not unknown in Cayman waters, but what they say usually happens with these creatures is that the bling attracts them.
Yeah, yeah, like gold. That's what they always said. Yeah,
yeah. They say if you're going to go in the water there in Cayman to take your jewelry off, but this guy was not wearing jewelry. He hadn't been handling bait either. They say that's the other thing that can attract barracuda. So this barracuda was just hunting fish in the area. The man was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Wow.
He did live. Severe injuries, but they stabilized
him. Was it an American?
Yes.
Wow. So we were in Stingray. I mean, there's probably a lot of people listening right now who have been to Stingray City in the Cayman Islands. Like, if you go on a cruise, the Cayman Islands is a regular stop point. And Stingray City is just this area where there are tons of stingrays everywhere, right? And the guides there will pick up the stingrays. You can touch them. I mean, they are literally, it's impossible to miss them. The water is not much higher than a lot of times like knee deep, right? Or waist deep at most. So to get attacked by a barracuda that's pretty wild. When I lived in the, you know, I used to live in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And when I lived in the U.S. Virgin Islands, we would go on, you know, like snorkeling trips or, you know, like they'd take us out. And there was always one area where a barracuda would come by. And it was pretty cool to be able to see the barracuda up close. That's what they would say. Like sometimes they get confused or get attracted by the, you know, the bling. So if you have jewelry on, you think you're going to be near a barracuda, don't do it. But man, that's awful because that's just such a place in the Caymans where it seems totally safe, right? I mean, the water is crystal clear. You can see everything. And there are tons of people of all ages all around watching the Stingrays. Man, that had to be unbelievable to see happen there.
A lot of baseball players would have to take all their gold chains off.
Yeah, my kids are now, my 8-year-old, who's a huge baseball guy, is wearing his own gold chains because of what the players wear.
Oh, boy. All right. Now, this story, it's good timing because you were just telling us about your first job.
Yeah, I worked at Media Play, first ever job.
Oh, check out this girl's first job. She was a worker. I want to say was, because I don't know if she's going to stay there. A worker at a Western Pennsylvania animal resort was injured last Saturday morning in a bear attack while guiding a routine safari tour of wildlife. Okay, this is the Woodland Resort in Farmington, about 60 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. The Himalayan bear reached through a wire fence, pulled this employee close, and bit her arm. The worker was in between two layers of fencing at the bear enclosure when the incident happened. The bear was engaged by other resort employees and released her arm finally. Then the employee was stabilized by a nurse and flown to a trauma center. The victim was described Saturday as stable and alert.
How old is she?
It doesn't say her age, but it says she's a youngster and it was her first month on the job.
She got attacked by a youngster, like, so. She can be like 20. I mean, do we think she's college age or do we think she's high school age?
Yeah, I'm thinking college age.
Surely you couldn't get close to a bear if you're a teenager.
Right, her first job out of college.
Yeah,
she was there for a month
to get attacked by a bear.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. And I don't, I mean, I would, I, there has to be video, I would think, of this on some level. I want to know, like, did she not recognize the danger? What happened that could occur?
Yeah, it's a good question. They say, we deeply regret this incident.
Yeah, no kidding. Wish the bear had it attacked yes. our employee.
Our thoughts are with our injured associate, our staff, and guests as we focus on ensuring they receive the finest medical attention and counseling.
I can't even imagine what that's like to be one of the tourists, you know, who's on the bear tour. And then the bear just grabs your guide.
Yeah, because obviously on the safari tour, there were tons of witnesses. The resort says that they ensure the enclosure is completely secure.
Well, and, obviously not.
Right. But then they go on to say they're arranging optional counseling for guests and staff who witnessed this unfortunate attack.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the kids? You have to answer the kids' questions. Oh. You think your kids are already scared of animals? Can you imagine going on a zoo tour and the bear just attacks? Like, your kids are never going in the woods again. It's like after I saw Jaws, I was afraid to get in swimming pools when I was a kid, right? Swimming pools. They're like, yeah, I know there's no shark in the swimming pool. I can literally see the entire water. And I was still afraid. That's how perilous Jaws was. Can you imagine if you're a young kid and you see a bear attack your tour guide? There's no way you're ever trusting any animals ever again. No, I'm not going in the woods for anything after that if I'm a young kid. And the counselor's not going to change that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
How nervous would you be, Danny G, if we all as a show got called in for a meeting during the middle of the week?
I'm sorry, Clay. Can you repeat that
question?
What
in the world are you doing?
I was getting the podcast ready for our new guy that just walked in.
All right. Let's go to Dub first. Dub, were you paying attention to the show?
Always, Clay. You know I'm always locked in.
There you go. You're locked in. So how nervous would you be if the show had a meeting we had to travel for in the middle of the week over something I had said on the show?
Well, I mean, I'd obviously be pretty nervous, especially if they're bringing the whole crew along with us. I mean, to me, that smells like bad news.
Yeah. What about you, Danny G? How nervous would you be if we got called in for a meeting in the middle of the week?
Yeah, well, like I'm going to get called in later today. You have to be listening even at the end of the show, Danny.
Yeah.
You know, it happened one time on the Ben Maller show.
You guys got all called in.
We all got called into the principal's office.
But you didn't have to travel for that because
no,
you're in L.A.
But we were nervous because we got the message from our boss, Scott Shapiro, early in the day. And it was going to be a conference call with all of us from the show later in the day. So all day long on the group chat, all of us were guessing what it was going to be about.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've never gotten called in for a travel meeting. You know, like over the years doing radio, I've had to meet with different program directors and for a variety of things that I've said over the, I mean, that's just, I think, commonplace for anybody who does live radio. Like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Wish you hadn't. But to have a scheduled meeting and have to travel for a face-to-face, this is a wild story that it's been going on for a week. I am intrigued to see how it's all going to shake out. Hopefully it shakes out better for Dan Le Batard than it has for Adrian Peterson and the $100 million that he's managed to spend.
What would you do with Le Batard if you were running ESPN?
I would tell him he has to follow the policy. I mean, look, there's a difference between being talent and being management. And I am talent, right? Like, I'm in the business of talking, being creative, saying what I say. But if you get set down by management and they say, hey, this is the rule, you can't violate this rule, and then you violate the rule, then I think you have to have significant consequences. Not just for that person, but because everybody else who's an employee is looking and seeing how they're being treated, and they're setting the precedent. And if they don't treat that person, it's like a team, right? If you treat one guy different than everybody else, then everyone notices. And so at some point, that starts to filter down and become an issue. So if there are rules, and you guys know I'm not a guy who loves rules, but if there are rules and your boss feels it's important that you follow those rules and you can't do it, then you got to leave. I mean, if Dan Le Batard is not willing to take millions of dollars to talk on a radio show and a television show about anything and everything other than Donald Trump, then that's on him. I mean, there are a lot of people listening to us right now who would say, hell, I got restrictions at my job, and I don't make millions of dollars talking about sports. It doesn't seem like that difficult of a standard to have to listen to your boss and not do that. So I don't think he's a martyr here. If he's not willing to do it, more power to him. He can find a new job, but I think you have to let him go if you're ESPN's president. Over this distinction. I think it's an important decision for him.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.